Okay, we're going to have an hour of open lines for you now, our floating format. By the way, the History Channel began airing Ancient Aliens. They have done another series, this one five parts, that they will air over the week, each week, for 5 weeks. And each part will run several times during the week. So if you missed the debut program that was tonight, on Tuesday night, it'll be in, I think they're going to have that one again Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central Time. And so you'll have an opportunity to see that too. They did a great job on that program. And a lot of it was on Eric von Däniken and his theories. So take a look at that if you would. In the St. Louis area, by the way, May 1st at 2 p.m. at the Left Bank Books, I'm going to be there for a book signing for Journey in the Light, the book that I wrote with Bill Burns. May 1st, Left Bank Books at 2 o'clock. It'll be from 2 to 4. And come on by and, you know, take pictures, do whatever you want to do there and have some fun. And we'll be back with your open lines in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Yeah, I like doing open lines every once in a while like this at the end of the program. Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hey, Cornelius, how are you?
Hey, George. God bless you, and God bless Tommy, your call screener. I was trying to get on with Jim Mars, but I never did get a chance, and I really enjoyed you on that Alien, Ancient Aliens.
Ancient Aliens.
You were good on there.
Well, they, you know, it was almost like a who's who of coast to coast, wasn't it?
But anyway, George, here in Louisiana, we're getting ready to have a fee increase on our license, and the state police are saying that it's part of this, the federal government, this new Real ID Act. So our licenses are going to go up, but the state legislature never did approve it, and so they're trying to fight against it. So that's what I was going to ask Jim Mars about and you about, so I'll take my answer off there. God bless you all.
All right, Cornelius. Look, it's happening. It's happening faster and faster and faster. I'm beginning to think that the Mayans, when they talked about 2012, they probably knew that by 2012, everything would be topsy-turvy. They say the economy is getting better, yet states are showing higher unemployment rates than ever before. Walk around the mood of most people. They're not generally happy. There's this feeling still of something impending. Every time I say that, we get an earthquake in Haiti or something in Chile or just a major catastrophe. But I'm telling you, this is different. It's a feeling that everybody feels, you do, but we just can't put our finger on it right now. But it's that uneasiness. It's almost as if we're out of kilter for just a little bit, you know, almost like we're in a different time warp or something. Teresa is in Portland, Oregon, and you're on. Good morning, Teresa.
Hi. I was intrigued by your story about the little boy that had the life after death experience.
Oh, my gosh. What a great story, huh?
Yeah. A similar story happened. It's very personal to our family and a real faith builder. My grandma was born in 1895, and when she was 19, she had a life after death experience. Two major illnesses, pneumonia and scarlet fever, and my grandpa watched her go deathly pale. And she said during that time, before she came out of it, she saw the pearly gates. She saw a teenage brother who had drowned, and then also her grandparents that were on the other side of the what she called what was the river of life. And then she saw Jesus holding his hand out in a, like, stop, it's not your time yet. And she went on to raise 10 children on a farm and had a really fruitful life and died at 95.
And I tell you, Teresa, if you didn't believe in the afterlife after that story, then you never will, right?
Oh, I know. It's a real comfort to know somebody that you loved, you know, that saw it and came back. And, you know, she had a faith in Jesus, and so we do too, and it makes all the difference in your life to have that to hang on to, you know, especially
Absolutely.
In these times, you know.
So. We don't want to chuck out early, but at least when it happens, you know there's something on the other side.
That's right. We have something we have to do here on Earth, and when we're done, it'll be our time.
That's exactly right. Thanks, Teresa. Next up is Ben in Wallaceburg. Let's see. It's Walsenburg, Colorado. That's an interesting town. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, George, it's a thrill to speak to you and the Coast audience. My phone's about to go out of power, so I'll make this real quick.
Okay.
But last summer, a GOP political leader visited the Palestinian state territories, the proposed territories, and it was unreasonable. For the past 10 years, I've been promoting a biblical alternative Palestinian state based on two obscure passages in the Bible. I think there are important reasons to form this state according to these references in Zechariah chapter 9 and the prophet Obadiah. First, Obadiah. He wrote, when Jacob would return to his possessions, he'd find them occupied by the house of Esau. The northern two-thirds of the proposed Palestinian state comprised the birthright of Joseph. So the Palestinian state, as proposed on the Bush roadmap, takes the birthright from Jacob and gives it to Esau. And as a Native American, we know you don't tamper with birthrights. This brings curses.
That does bring curses. There's no doubt about that.
And secondly, in Zechariah 9, Zechariah alludes to the parameters or the borders of a Palestinian state in which they would dwell in peace with Israel. And if I could mention my website, this is all explained on there.
I tell you what you can do. Give us your website. Give it to Tom. I'll have Lex take a look at it, and we'll put up a little link for you once Lex does his research. I don't like to give out a lot of websites of individuals until we have a chance to look them over first, but I would be more than happy to do that, and we'll get it to Lex. Lex will check it out, and if he likes it, we'll just put a little blip up there for you. I don't have a problem with that, and hope you have millions of people go to your site if Lex approves it. Let's go to Josh, first-time caller in Glendon, Minnesota. Go ahead, Josh. You're up with us.
Hey, Josh. George. Good talking to you.
You too.
I didn't get a chance to get on and talk with you while you had Gordon on the air, but he had, one of you had mentioned something about Americans sharing their bases they have in Iraq with Israelis. Well, with President Obama having Muslim, or if you will, Islam roots, who says that he's going to listen to what Israel wants and not side with the Islam and Muslims of Iran and just let them march on through to Israel?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I do think that he will use his fiduciary responsibilities as the president to continue to stand behind Israel, even though it's very strained right now. Relations are strained. This administration and the Israeli administration are at odds over a lot of issues, one of which is the Israeli government should, in my opinion, stop its construction program. I mean, that is doing nothing but infuriating the Arabs and the Palestinians. But I do not believe that this country will let anything happen to Israel. And we would step in if we had to, regardless of the politics involved. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Larry, east of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hi, Larry.
Hi, George. Good morning. That'd be RM3, Larry, USS Pagatuck, IL-108, the Smiling Indian. Hello, Navy buddy. I have two questions, really, and then I'd like to go back to Tom, get some information. There's a little, one of the affiliates from coast to coast here in Memphis, and well, the only. And I tried to bring up the deal about Obama, the birth certificate. And the guy that they had sent in for some other guy, everybody that called in was wrong. He was okay. It's great that you have the right to say that, but you're wrong. Everybody was wrong. And once I got in and mentioned that, I mean, I started a firestorm. And every other caller, or you know, three or four in a row, they were saying something. But the main problem I had is that I made that, and I listened for a little while, and then I went to do something else and turned the radio down. And when I came back, I turned the radio back up, and I heard about two words, something about a caller after me talking about the same thing. And then he was trying to say that I was an independent something, I don't know if he said Republican or Democrat or whatever he said, but he said I called back in to make that point. And I didn't call back in at all for that. And I tried to call the, I'm sorry.
That happens, though. Believe it, you know, people will call in thinking somebody else was on the air, and they never called.
Listen, listen, it set me on fire, and I was all but cussing the affiliate out here in town, and, you know, you couldn't get them to answer on the phone and all that, and finally got the producer back there, and he said, well, you're crazy as hell, and hung up the phone on me. And it was a great AM 600 WREC in Memphis. The other thing, I think I need to talk to the producer about that, though. But it's great to talk to you. Long-time listener, 1994, and keep going.
All right, my friend. We'll put you on hold. You can talk to Tom about whatever you wanted to talk to him about. Next up, we go to Andy in Wildcard Line out there in West Hills, California. Hey, Andy, good morning.
Hi, George. How are you?
Okay.
Well, I've got a comment about your guest covering the economic situation.
All my guests. We got many of them doing that.
Yes, you do. And I think that they do a good job of covering the economic problems, but I don't think they have a good idea of what the solutions really are. And what's worse is I think they're sort of conditioning yourself and your listeners that there's nothing to do or nothing we can do about the problems.
But all of them have talked about various aspects of solutions. Nobody's listening to them.
I haven't heard any major solutions.
Well, Gerald Celente was one who said that we should let the free marketplace dictate what it's doing. Mish Shedlock has talked about, stopping this, NAFTA and getting more jobs back in the United States. I mean, they've talked about different things. It hasn't been a formal presentation.
Right, but those are sort of around the edges, but it's not what's, and they're also not covering what's happening now with the, because the solution, in my view, is the Tea Party movement and the Liberty movement in general. And the Tea Party folks are helping it, moving it along. Some of the things we need done are to abolish the Federal Reserve, to audit it and then abolish it, also to take back Congress. And those things are happening, but they're not covering that. So,
where are you? See, they got you already. Where'd you go? Well, there you go. Listen, our people, our experts have talked about abolishing the Federal Reserve long before anybody even mentioned it. Way gone back. They've all been doing it. Gerald Celente, Shedlock, Catherine Austin Fitz. All of them. Donald in Anaheim, you're up with us. Hey, Donald, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I got a couple of quick questions. Is there anybody looking into the chance that there might be life on other planets that isn't dependent on water?
Now, that is, we've always talked about the possibility that there could be different kinds of life forms, but I think all of them, all the theories about life forms include water as a main ingredient.
Because I kind of think about, like, people talk about, like, passing on afterlife and all that. And it's like, okay, like ghosts, spirits, it doesn't seem like they would need water.
They just found a little critter, a little organism that does not need oxygen.
Yeah. And so if there are, like, other life forms that don't need water, then is there anybody looking for them?
Interesting. No, I don't think that's ever come up, Donald.
Okay. And my next question, if there was a planet found that could be inhabited by humans, what about, like, plants and animals? Because we depend on them here. So if they found the planet somewhere else where, it could be inhabited, what about, all these different species of plant and animal life that are here? Would you think there would be, like, some way to take that over there?
Well, let me tell you. If they found an Earth-like planet that was very similar in terms of atmosphere and size and warmth, closeness to its star, water, I think it would already have all those there.
Because that's kind of scary to think, like, what kind of stuff might grow there, how that would change animals. I mean, that's kind of big. I was wondering if anybody's studying that.
Could be dinosaurs again.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to live there.
You've been doing a lot of thinking, Edward, haven't you?
Oh, Donald.
Donald.
Yeah.
Edward's next.
Yeah. I'm concerned about it. So yeah, I'm checking into it and I'm listening. I'm hoping maybe you can get a guest that talks about that.
It would be all guests, but you never know. Now we go to Ed in Nashville. Hey, Ed, go ahead.
Good morning, George Norrie. How are you today, sir?
Fine, Edward. How are you?
Hey, Freddie Miller, for an older fella. Hey, look, you have definitely got to have the top show in the world. I mean, I heard you mention Mr. Morris before that, but I heard him last night, and I was completely, completely enthralled with this guy. He's right up there.
Does his homework.
He does. I mean, him, Mr. Griffin, and Catherine Austin and Fitz are probably your top three hitters. And I did what Catherine was recommending about taking my money out of the big banks and putting them in a small bank.
Mm-hmm.
I did that because, I mean, it's like Mr. Marr said last night. We're talking about the newspapers and the TV and that. The ultra elite own these things. So, I mean, the only thing you're going to hear is what they approve of.
Yep. Exactly. And I think, Ed, people just want to be left alone. Simple as that. Don't you agree? They just want to be left alone.
Yeah, I mean, we want our rights. We want our freedom to choose.
Yep.
We don't want to be told, you know, we don't want to be in communism. If we wanted to be a communist state, we go to Russia.
We want a good defense. I think the nation has a responsibility to be, not be aggressive and attack countries willy-nilly, but we should create you should defend your country, and we need arms, missiles, and things like that. But, I mean, they should create, safety for Americans.
Well, your call, a couple calls before, mentioned Obama and Israel. Obama was caught during a campaign off the he didn't have a teleprompter with him, but made a very detrimental remark about Israel. So apparently he doesn't like Israel from the get-go.
Yeah, we cannot turn our backs on Israel.
No, I mean, all those poor guys, they've been had since the, heck before, before Christ. I mean, in the BC times, they've been a staunch supporter of the U.S. And we have been a supporter of theirs for many years. But for some reason, new administration, for some reason, they don't want to do it.
And one of the big problems now is because of this hatred that has gone on for years. I'm just afraid that they're just never going to get together and work things out. They just don't trust each other anymore.
No, but I'll tell you what, though. I truly believe if Iran takes and goes after Israel, it's all over but the shout. I mean, the fallout is going to be all over the place.
You're talking about the potential of World War III if that happens.
Exactly. I do not want that. I got a 15-year-old boy I want to see grow up to be my age or older.
You know what? And there are many families around this planet, Ed, that want the same thing as you do. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I wish peace to everybody. And everybody needs to take and, relax a little bit. Take a deep breath. Do what's good for mankind, for our country, for our earth. And stop letting the ultra, elite and the ultra rich run this world, and just for their power hungriness. I mean, I just can't fathom people being that greedy and that hungry for a certain thing like power. I mean, I'm just at a loss for words on that one.
Well, sometimes you just simply have to smell the roses and sip the wine and just chill out, and you need to do that. Road ragers need to do that too. I'll be back. On our next Coast to Coast program, Dr. Marcella Glazner joins us as we talk about some incredible things about the origins of the universe. Dr. Glazner has been compared to Carl Sagan. That'll be our next Coast to Coast show. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines here, and let's go to the phones. But first, I want to tell you that if you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. We're working on some brand new website applications. I'll get Lex on with me as soon as those things are ready to go, and he can explain. You're going to love it. It's the next evolution of the website, and it's getting, I think, more user-friendly and better and better and better, and really easy to use and navigate through. And finally, we're getting to the point where my Instapoll will be ready, which means we'll be able to throw out a polling question. You go to the website, fill in the answer, and will instantly get results. We'll still have our fast blasts and things like that for your comments. But for polling purposes, you know, we can poll millions of people at one time and get instantaneous results for you. And I've been wanting that for some time now. It's going to be called our Coast to Coast Instapoll. And let's go to the phones. Virgil's in Riverside, California. Yes, you are. Hi, Virgil. Got a lot of friends out that way. How are you?
I am fine, George. Fine. This is the first time I call you.
Well, I'm glad you got through. What sparked your call?
Well, I've been hanging on for a half hour, so. Anyway, what got me to call? I wanted to talk to Gordon, but I couldn't get through to him. So I'll just address the question and take the answer offline.
All right.
With all the security that he talked about for England, the street cameras throughout, you know, all the major towns in the country, and the police officer is able to walk up and ask, you know, hey, what are you doing with that camera? What are you taking a picture for? You know, and all those kind of things that they have, and the fact that they, of course, outlawed the private ownership of handguns a long time ago. Just to put it in perspective, I've been an NRA member since 1969, so you'll know where I'm coming from.
Well, and you know I'm a supporter of guns.
Yeah, so I was going to ask him, you know, if in fact he could attest to any decrease in regular street crime and violence in that country with all that additional security they've got in place. Now, that's what I was interested in, because I understand that taking the guns away didn't do the job. So
no, it didn't do the job at all. As a matter of fact, Virgil, John Lott will tell you, professor, that more guns, less crime is absolutely true. You know, if people have the right to carry, crime in that city goes down.
I agree.
You take the guns away, crime goes way back up because only the bad guys have the guns.
Correct. Yeah.
Hey, and answer your phone. Hey, tell me, answer your phone while you're talking to me. Who is that?
Well, I've sat here and called certain places out there to make sure my people are doing their job. Hang on a second.
All right, let's see what that is. Virgil's got a police job or something.
Safety check, go ahead. How about that? They hung up. Yeah, I have to check on them. I sit here for 8 hours making phone calls.
All right, you do security, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I work for one of the major security companies in the country.
Okay, well, we'll go let you do your thing.
All right, you take
all right,
care.
Thanks, for you too. There he goes. Next up, we go to the state of Washington. First-time caller, Gene, good morning.
Hi, how's it going?
Okay, all is well, thank you.
Good. I was just wondering a couple of things. On this new bill that Obama's got for us on the health care plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually in school for constitutional law, ironically. And I was just wondering, I haven't heard anybody saying anything about, you know, we in the criminal justice system right now, we have the double jeopardy law.
Right.
Right. Now, that is a federal and state, and it's governed, you know, through all legislation. Now, okay. what the government's doing right now, it's where if you have to pay the government a health care tax and then turn around and pay an HMO or pay your deductible,
right.
This, that, and the other. As far as I can see in our own Constitution, that right there is a double jeopardy. Paying for the same thing twice. And how do you get through to the American people that every single one of our American civil liberties rights, all of our constitutional rights, everything in this one bill, this one piece of legislation is totally taken, everything as an American, we are entitled away from us.
A lot of people don't even know, Gene, what this bill is going to do, what it truly encompasses. My friend that I talked about months ago who fell the day after Thanksgiving, and he is still paralyzed, just received notification from the hospital and the insurance company. The bill, this is beyond insurance, the bill to date now that he owes, they say, is $250,000. He's been in the hospital in some form or fashion since the Friday after Thanksgiving of last year. Here we are now, April going into May. $250,000 is that bill. He can't pay that. It's a nightmare. And so I asked his daughter, I said, you need to check to see if this health program is going to cover him. And as much as they're not going, you know, prior conditions used to be a death knell for getting insurance. Well, apparently you're still going to be able to get insurance with that. I wonder if they're going to be able to pick that up for him. If not, man, he's up the creek. Next up, we go to Florida in Orlando. Seth, you're there.
Well, how are you, George?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I was sitting there listening to your guests, and I thought about answering a couple of their questions. I think the last guest that you had, you know, some of that's relatively easily answerable, which is, you know, I mean, obviously most of the companies are in cahoots with our own politicians. I think we all sort of at this point realize that. Is that fair sure enough to say?
It's all about money, Seth.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, without getting down to brass tacks, I think we can understand that that's a big part of the issue. But I want to take a little step back from some of this, like the very specific, which I think, you know, people get a little bit more caught up in, and think about, you know, what are the philosophical aspects of, you know, human beings in terms of their morality, like that we haven't, at least in my opinion, advanced that far. You ever seen 2001 before, George?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And there's a very key scene in that movie when, you know, the first 30 minutes takes place with basically apes. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you know, the ape throws the bone up in the air, and then it turns into a satellite, and the rest of the movie sort of takes place, implicating that, you know, we can advance in technology, but our morality does not, or our human nature does not advance much beyond that. So, of course, consequently, we have I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, like, advanced way of killing each other without a very sensible way of dealing with that. Does that make sense?
Well, I think what you're trying to say is that the human race really hasn't advanced much in terms of who they are as people. We still kill, we still hate, and though there's some wonderful people on this planet, there's still a lot of people that are pretty darn evil and have been since the beginning of time.
You're absolutely right. And so my major concern, and I don't know how much of Ray Kurzweil's work you've read, or, you know, the sort of futurists, you know, that you've mm-hmm. read or have had on the show, that we're in an era in which, you know, our technology is advancing at a very, very rapid rate. There's a doubling rate, you know.
I think it's too fast now, don't you?
I do, because I don't, you know, my concern has been that, like, we don't have the moral capacity to necessarily deal with the things that we're going to build. And so inevitably that creates a giant conundrum, and especially because our legal and governmental systems are totally unequipped to deal with, you know, what's in our very, very near future. And, you know, so much of this is already rearing its head. And so a lot of this could do us a lot of good. It could do us a lot of bad. And obviously, I would prefer if it did a lot of good, but I'm very unsure about the whole thing, and I'm just wondering what you think about the idea of needing to consolidate governments, you know, across the global spectrum, and in conjunction with, you know, technology advancing and the general nature of what those things mean for us. I know this is very sort of, you know, out there stuff, but this is what your show is for.
Well, so sure. And you know what, Seth? It's probably a full show all by itself one day to talk about just the issues of the human being and what they are. I have always believed that it's an issue of greed. It's good against bad, the haves against the have-nots, and that's beginning to widen even further. That bothers me a lot, because there comes a point where you can't create that kind of disparity amongst people. When you have a lot of folks who have and you have more folks who don't, you've got a problem. And I just don't see that balancing out right now. This is a very strange time, a time in my life I've never gone through or seen anything like this. And, you know, I can see it on my kids' faces. They're confused. They're scared. They have this feeling of, you know, what's next? What's going to happen? And, you know, I'd like to say we are all in this together, aren't we? But these are strange times right now. Let's go next to Travis in West Milford, New Jersey, where it's about 4:48 in the morning out there. Hi, Travis.
Hi, George. Yeah, it's 4:48. I'm on my way home. I work in New York City at night, so I'm always listening to your show.
Super. At least you don't have much traffic, do you?
No, no. It's actually really clear at night for the most part. It's just those damn cab drivers. I was trying to call in the other night to talk with you and Giorgio because I've been really into the Anunnaki, this whole thing that's just, you know, coming to light. I mean, I know it's been talked about for a long time before I caught interest, but it's just, it's mind-blowing, and it's amazing. And
have you looked at Zechariah Sitchin's work?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, okay. I have. I DVR'd the episode tonight that played, last night. So I'm going to watch that when I get home. And, right.
I think you'll like it.
I watched the one that played last year, and I was wondering if it was going to be a series, and now I guess so. Do you know if it's going to have a DVD release?
I don't have anything to do with what the History Channel is doing, Travis, but I'm sure it will. They always tend, after the series run, they always seem to go into a DVD release. I know they did that with UFO Hunters, and I'm sure they'll do this with this. They have produced 5 more programs. Each one will run on Tuesday, and they'll run them a couple times each week. And I think once that's done, they'll probably go to DVD.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Are you a fan of that show, Lost?
I don't really get a chance to watch it because I'm prepping the show a lot at night, and I've never been a TiVo guy. I'm still in the dark ages when it comes to some of those things. So I really haven't been, but I watch and read the reviews on that, and then our friends at the NighthawkZone.com, they love it. So they'll give you updates every once in a while on their chat forum, but it's a good show, I'm told.
Yeah, I'm deep into it. This is the last season, the last few shows are airing, and I've been watching it, and that is a great show. I just wanted to know if you were a fan of that or not. And one last thing before I go, I'm a songwriter, not really of any mention, not famous or anything like that, but I am with a buddy of mine right now. We have our own studio that we kind of put together ourselves out of our own pockets, and it won't be long before I've already written about 5 or 6 songs dealing with, I'm not using the word myth to any kind of bad way, but with the whole Anunnaki, all this evidence and everything. So what I'm hoping for is like a concept album, not really so much a story, but a concept album.
Interesting.
To get this, to get it more out there, the message of what it all is, and just to get more people in noticing that this is going on.
Well, when you're ready, send us a little CD version, and maybe we can pop you on, okay?
I'd be happy to do that.
All right. Thanks, Travis. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. I love creative people. West of the Rockies, we go to Dan in Oroville, California. We've got some time here for a few more callers, don't we? Go ahead, Dan.
Hello, George. How you doing?
Okay.
That's good. I'm a longtime listener, 7th-time caller. I just have a question about following with, you know, 2 statements, and I'll get out of line and let the people behind me ask the questions. How is your father doing? Last time I was listening, he was kind of like in the hospital or something.
Remarkably better. He is now 87 years old.
Wow.
And we thought we were going to lose him last year.
Oh,
and he's made a remarkable turnaround. I talked to him just a couple days ago.
Oh,
and I mean, it's truly for a guy who's 87 years old.
Oh.
I mean, it's truly amazing. But he's doing well. And my mom, who's 80, seems equally strong as well.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for asking, by the way.
Well, you're welcome. I have a grandfather that's 82, and he's just still kicking. And nothing beats a father's love. I mean, not that mothers can't love you, but, you know, there's just a certain bond between a son and a father. You know, it's just that's unbreakable, you know, and I've got a father I'm close to.
Well, you heard that song, Dance With My Father Again. It's one of the best.
No, I haven't. I'll have to look that up on
Some
day. Did you know who that's sung by any chance?
That is done by Dance with My Father Again. God, I got it right. I just played it.
Oh.
We'll get it. We'll get it for
okay.
you.
Okay. Oh, no problem. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ask the Moon and Stars question. I apologize.
It's called Stump the Talk Show Host.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. The two statements. I was just thinking, like the previous caller a while back when he was talking about taking a fresh air about,
Luther Vandross.
Oh, Luther Vandross. Okay, yeah. I have to look him up and get that song. But when you guys mentioned about Israel, and then about the government, what it's doing, it's like Thomas Jefferson gave the American people the responsibility and the right of what to do in the Constitution, because they knew that this would be coming if we didn't do something about it as far as what to do, and we see the course of government going in the wrong direction. And about Israel, in the Old Testament, God didn't say for nothing that he would bless those who blessed Israel and curse those that cursed Israel. And you look at every nation that's cursed Israel and where they're at. I think that's the only reason why America's been blessed and continue to be blessed, because we're standing by Israel. If we ever stop sticking up for them, we're going to be in a
I wish all the countries though would do a stronger stance to help the Palestinian people. I've got some dear friends who are Palestinian. One was a doctor who saved my life a long time ago. Some of those camps where the Palestinians are living right now, it's deplorable. I mean, and I just don't understand how this planet can't step in and just make these things fixable.
Right.
It's like they don't want to, Dan.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. And it's like one preacher was saying that they're never, you're always going to have good and bad in the world. There won't be any peace until the Prince of Peace, which is, Jesus Christ comes back. They're kind of thinking he comes back, that we can make it manageable.
If he's coming back, I wish he'd do it awfully darn soon.
Right, even so, come quickly. Huh?
Yeah, you got it. Okay, Dan, we're running out of time here. And again, our next program, of course, is going to be about the origins of the universe, a classic Coast to Coast show. Then the producers have done it again for me on Thursday night show. It's Who's Behind the Secret Door, a concept we came up with a couple of years ago about just bringing guests in that I don't know about, and they just pop on and pop out, and we'll be doing that. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.